Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
All right, so what we're going to do to start out this little recording session is I'm going to say a word, and then you're going to say the next word, and we're just going to go back and forth and form a sentence.
Okay, so it's not word association. We are trying to form a sentence.
No, it's form a sentence is the goal, yeah.
Okay, yeah.
So I'll start here. The.
Big.
Dick. Just shows where my mind is.
Throbbed.
Throbbed inside
the quivering.
Nostril.
All right, there.
All right, I think we can start. That went right off the rails immediately. Just immediately.
Just to check, was that for track alignment or was that a bit?
That's the beauty of it, Kiri. That's both.
Excellent. That's very clever.
It's the track alignment / warm up the funny box, warm up the vocals. It's a new game I've invented. I didn't invent it, but I like doing these now for the Wizard Hangs.
It's very good.
Hello, everyone. Welcome back to the inaugural episode of Wizard Hang. We're finally back after a several month hiatus. I'm here with my good, jolly good friend, Kier. Why don't you introduce yourself and plug everything you need to plug?
Yeah, absolutely. Let's get that out straight away. Yeah. Hi, everybody. I'm Kier Joe, creator of the fantasy fiction audio drama No Return. You might have seen it recently on the Wizard Scroll feed, but if you didn't, you should definitely check it out because it's a great show.
You got so much. Like, you have so many ideas, and they're all great. Like, it always turns out really good. It's just you got so much going at the same time. It's really hard to keep track of it all. Why don't you tell us a little bit more about your world that you got there? The world of No Return.
Yeah, Ersit Latari.
In one of your numerous several fantasy languages.
That's actually Sumerian. So that one's not a fantasy.
Oh, that
one. I guess it is a fantasy language now in the sense that nobody speaks it.
That's true.
But yeah, so Ersit Latari is Sumerian for the land of No Return. But yeah, we're going to have to scope this right down because talking about my world is going to be so long and boring.
Yeah, we're going to have a fucking 10-hour fucking episode.
Yeah, we'll start at the cosmogony.
In the beginning, there was Hulus.
There is an episode that deals with the cosmogony of the universe. Oh my god.
It's just so wild that you thought of all of this stuff. You have like fucking volumes of lore. Like, not even stories, just lore that will never see the light of day, just in your brain somewhere.
It will never make it to the story.
And it's just, it really does show. Like, you have a living, breathing world that you've got going on. Meanwhile, I'm sitting over here on with my fucking Orc J. Simpson and my fucking, and all these characters that just, like, I really did not think, like, most of my lore is just, like, jokes. Like, my main religious figure in the Wizard Scroll, in the realm of Yrgsland, is a character named Goblin Jesus.
Goblin Jesus.
And he's just, his whole thing is that he's Jesus, but he's a goblin. And that, he does come into play at some point in, like, season two, but that's about it. Like, that's the long and short of it. There's no other religions. There's only one religion, because it was confirmed true.
by the presence of Goblin Jesus.
Yeah, when Goblin Jesus descended from heaven, like, everyone was like, oh yeah, that's the religion. And I really don't delve too much into religion or politics or anything that in my show. I know that's like your bread and butter.
Yeah, yeah. So, I've made a real attempt, I think, to try and foster some complexity and richness to the world. Some might suggest overly complex. But very much my thinking on this as a creator is, it's probably not the advisable way to go when developing a story is to create the world first. Maybe allow the world to get created as your story develops. And I think your approach, and you know, this is something I've spoken to Sky from Megastar 7 about as well, is that approach is, I mean, there's a reason I took the approach that I did by creating the world first. There's a kind of like, I don't know, a creative philosophy behind why I've done what I've done. I don't Right. think it's better. And I don't think it creates a better product. But there is a reason I've done it. I just wouldn't recommend it to anyone else.
You know, I've been doing some reading of the Conan books. Mm. And apparently Robert E. Howard basically did the same thing. Like, he established the world first and then basically just wrote the Conan stories as a realistic fiction that takes place in that world. And so, like, there is some merit to it. It's seen some success in the past. Conan's fucking iconic.
Yeah. Yeah.
And so is No Return, I would say.
Yeah, of course. I mean, is the creator, Keijo, Master of Sori and Song, is a very well-known, very famous gentleman. He goes to Hollywood parties and is welcomed everywhere he goes.
Wizard Hang 28, for instance. He made it. The prestigious interview show that I had Joe Rogan. I had to turn him down to get you in here.
Oh, poor guy. He's never going to have the pull I've got.
Exactly.
I got all respect for his numbers, but at the end of the day, he's no KJ. Yeah.
That's true.
I didn't realize that Conan was approached the same way. Again, my rationale for it was I didn't think as a new writer I would be able to will into the world stories that weren't in some way bound by like some hard limits. You know, if I was just pulling stuff out of my ass to make a story, that I would find it really difficult to keep it on track, that I would find it difficult to ground the motivations of the characters, the plot, all of that would find it very, very difficult to be grounded if there were no hard limits on how I approached it. And so I created hard limits by creating, you know, the laws of the universe that, whilst different, were fixed. Histories and institutions and politics and religion that present, you know, barriers and enablers to people's actions and activity in it. And for me, if I hadn't have created the world first, I'd found it really, really difficult to tell a story. But that is very much a limitation of me as a creator. I made all of this stuff.
All the entire world, the entire universe, and then somewhere in that universe, there is a fucking comic strip called The Adventures of Cole Lumbo.
Yes, there is.
Who my character, Cole Lumbo, based his name off of. It couldn't have just been a pun. It had to be based off of something in the universe.
It had to be, yeah.
It's honestly like so, it's so you too. I love all the elf names, Elwyn, Celria, fucking.
And then Cole Lumbo.
Cole Lumbo walks in. Oh, I just ran 5 li to get here.
There was a precursor to No Return called The Tales of Sada and Medu, which was like a mini flash fiction stories that were
okay.
They were like rather than it being, you know, traditional radio play audio drama, it was a lot more. It was an audio book essentially, with music and sound effects alongside it, little flash fiction stories that I would tell. And I voiced all of that initially. I did get some of my friends to chip in and friends and family to chip in to do some of the voices on that later on. But the 3 radio play, as in like traditional audio drama, you know, no prose or mm-hmm. limited narration, that all came at the back end of the Tales of Sada and Medu. And basically, I voiced all of that on the basis that I was sort of trialing something. So those first 2 episodes of the Nymphaeum were me taking my first proper steps into creating, you know, immersive audio fiction away from that audiobook style stuff. But the Bards episode that you featured on your feed, That was actually originally part of the Tales of Sadra Medu as well. That was the very first piece of radio play fiction that I'd done.
Damn, it holds up then.
Yeah.
Or did you like remake it or like...
I re-recorded my lines.
Because you did all the singing too, yes?
No, I didn't. I absolutely did not. I did write some of the songs or was involved in the writing of some of the songs, but the only thing that got re-recorded on that were my lines because, as identified, the awful quality of headphone I was using needed to be sorted. So...
So I did most of the recording on my own for a very long time as well. Mm. Like the first two seasons of my show, I voiced essentially every single character with a few exceptions here and there. So like there was like a few characters I was like, "Hey, like my friend from high school was like, "Hey, you want to do a voice?" And he was like, "Sure." And I'd just toss him in there, kill him off that episode. Shit like that.
Yeah, yeah.
And so my first real, like, foray into having other people voice stuff for me was when season 3 hit. Yeah. And it just started, like, getting really awkward to listen back to me doing two women talking to each other.
Yeah. Yeah.
And it got to the point, it was like, okay, well, I'm part of, like, Omega Star 7 now. Like, I know women actors who would love to do this for me and would probably do a way better job. And... it shows they do. And it's just a completely different experience. Like migrating from doing everything myself to having actors to do it for me.
Yeah.
I just have to keep reminding myself, these people aren't me. Like if I need something spoken in a certain way, I've got to like convey that to them somehow or else they're just gonna, so it's like there's a certain inflection.
Yeah.
So I'm like, I can't tell you how many times like I've had to go back and have retakes with Chrissy or Gabby, voices of Crystal and Scarletta respectively. Like I'm like, hey, I need this retaken. I know you pronounced it au naturel like how a normal person would, but this character specifically pronounces it au naturel. There's a whole lore reason why.
No, I do know what you mean. The transition from being the soul mind behind it and understanding what the vision of every line or every scene is supposed to be, to then transitioning into like a more of a director role. We're trying to get other people to deliver that vision that aren't you. It's so totally different. And I think, yeah, that's something certainly that that particular problem you've just mentioned there. The amount of times that I've encountered the same thing, I've been like, oh, I clearly haven't explained to you why this ridiculous thing that I'm asking you to do is, you know, I can see why your mind would naturally gravitate towards doing this in a normal way, but here's what I want.
So a little birdie told me that you had Chrissy voice two characters that seduced each other. Is that correct?
Yes. Yeah. Chrissy seduced herself, and then had her romantic relations interrupted, romantic relations with herself interrupted in a scene,
yeah. By a third character also voiced by her. Funny that you mentioned that because I too have a scene in my upcoming season where Chrissy does that. Two characters played by her that seduce each other.
Great minds. Great minds.
Yeah, great minds think alike. Exactly.
You still there?
Yeah.
Yeah, sorry. It's because my screen went black.
Oh, shit.
I was like, oh, no. what's happened there?
Yeah, yeah, no, that happens to me all the time. Actually, like right before this recording, I just went in and made sure my screen settings don't go dark until like 2 hours of inactivity. Yeah, yeah. Because like you would think that while Reaper is going and it's clearly doing something, the screen would stay
on.
You
think so, right?
You would think that. Like if you're watching a YouTube video, the screen doesn't do that. Mm. But like if you're doing something else like this, like I mean, the good thing is that it stays recording.
Yeah,
that's it's a really nice
touch. That it doesn't just switch off. Yeah, that is quite a useful function.
Speaking of, I just accidentally switched.
I got this mouse called the Logitech MX Master 2S. This mouse here, let me tell you, is fucking awesome, specifically for editing audio. For one simple reason, This thing has two scroll wheels. It's got a vertical scroll wheel like most mice have, but it also has a horizontal scroll wheel that you can scroll left and right.
Now, that does sound very useful, actually.
You can never go back to a normal mouse afterward, is the thing. It's so useful for so many things. And plus, like, all the buttons are programmable. You can have shit like that adjusts your volume. You can have a button that stops your recording for you by accident. You can do all sorts of stuff.
Holy shit. What was the name of that that wonderful product again? Just to make sure that we...
It's the MX Master. If you look that up, I have the 2S, but they have like a bunch of them now.
Yeah.
I don't think they sell the 2S anymore, but the 3S, it's all the same shit. It's just a different, like...
How are we going to get that sweet Logitech money if they don't sell it
anymore? Oh my god, right? If they just like, if they just sent me a mouse, I would fucking shill out. You have no idea. They just sent me a free mouse. I would fucking have an entire episode of Wizard Scroll. I would write an entire script.
That would just
all
be
the characters. Like, I know, hey, Azataz, computers haven't been invented yet, but check out this mouse. Oh, wow, is that the MX Master 2S? You can horizontal Wizard Scroll with this thing.
Oh, fucking class.
The horizontal Wizard Scroll. That's my new sex move. Delved into No Return. We delved into Wizard Scroll a little bit. What do you say we can? I feel like what I've been doing a lot with these Wizard Hangs is I've just been telling people how fucking great Omega Star 7 is. Like, that's the next thing on the list.
That's gonna be, yeah.
Fucking Skylar is such an incredible guy. Just like, not only because he recognized how good of a voice actor and singer I am and has me voice a bunch of shit for him, but everything else is really good too. He's the one who introduced me to Chrissy and the entire Omega Star 7 crew. And it's just been wonderful working with him for all this time. I'm really excited to hear what his Dirt and Dust spinoff is like. He's been very secretive with that. It's just him and James in the writer's room. He's not letting anyone else touch it until the table reads.
Yeah, I'm really excited for it as well. Like, I just see little moments where he'll come out and talk about how great it is, but with no but with no detail. Be like, oh, we just did this amazing writing session. God, it's gonna be so great. And I'm like,
yeah,
please God, give me some information about this. It's a Western mecha. I know. I saw the original. I was there for that. I was in it. Yeah. But I'm also very excited for it. And I also will take any opportunity to say how wonderful Omega Star 7 and the Omega Star 7 team are as well. In fact, my last, I did an interview for the first episode of, and I think 50% of that interview was me talking about Omega Star 7. but it got cut because it was only...
For natural reasons.
Yeah, for natural reasons.
So how did you meet Skylar originally? Because you've known him for quite a little bit longer than I have, I think.
So I found Skylar's work when Omega Star 7, I think, was still in its improv stage before it had gone to the scripted episodes. That's when I was creating the Tales of Sardramedu, that, you know, flash fiction audio stories thing. And I intersected, we had our sort of Venn diagram overlapped on Twitter in the audio drama space on Twitter before it became a steaming pile of shit. and basically, you know, I checked out a couple of episodes of Omega Star 7 based on a recommendation, and I messaged Sky saying, wow, absolutely love this. The music is insane. The jokes are absolutely ridiculous, especially that 5-minute opening.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Trey, you touch my nuts.
Yes.
Oh, I don't slip. I didn't touch your nuts. I didn't grab your nuts.
That scene is so long.
No, they're great. They're fucking geniuses over there.
Yeah. And I basically, you know, I showered Sky with a bit of love. And then he said, if you ever want any help with anything, then just ask. And I immediately said, hey, can I have some help with something? which he very, very kindly followed through on, and then later on asked me to play the role of Vax Arden, which I was absolutely ecstatic to be able to play the main character and hero of Omega yes. Star 7.
I was just about to say, I can't believe you nailed the main protagonist of Omega Star 7. Yeah, fucking your portrayal of Vax Arden is just a fucking magical thing. Like, you're just like this space wizard samurai fucking Jedi mind tricks people into fucking killing each other and shit. It's just so epic and awesome, and just the rest of the show pales in comparison, really.
I agree.
We need the Vax Arden Zoots McKenzie spinoff. That's what we need.
Could you imagine?
Fucking good. Put those two guys in a room together.
That'd just be awful.
Ah, Vax Arden, my favorite space wizard. How you doing today?
And who are you?
I am Zoots McKenzie, of course, of Star Runner Records. Ah. What the fuck are you doing in my office?
I appear to have materialized from the in-between. Oh. Omega Star, Skylar.
Yeah, Omega Star is so great. We'll just keep talking. This is an Omega Star 7 fan podcast now.
I'm really looking forward to the inevitable return and victory of Vax Arden because.
Yes, 100%. Yeah. I'm rooting for you. Yeah, so I met Skylar in around 2021. Mm. So, like, right around that same time, I would maybe.
Yeah, sounds about right. Yeah, about the same time.
I think he had, like, maybe the first 4 or 5 episodes of Outlander out. So it was still the improv era. I remember I was on Reddit one day, like, going through r/audio drama or whatever, just, like, trying to self-promo Wizard Scroll wherever I could without getting banned from... I've gotten banned from a few subreddits for ceaseless self-promos all over.
Ditto.
So I've been... And so I saw a post, a self-promo post from Skylar about Omega Star, and I was just like, wow, this sounds like a good podcast. Let me check this out. And I listened to that first episode of Outlander. Like, I skipped the actual play stuff, as he recommended, and I was just, like, ironing my clothes. I remember I was ironing my clothes for some reason, and I was listening to this podcast, and I was just like, holy fucking shit, this is hilarious. Like, the voices, the sound design, the little... Like the music, all the of music. This is just done in-house. And then at the very last sentence, it was like, oh, Slip, what are you eating there? Nuts. And then the fucking outro music plays. From that moment, I was hooked. I went back onto Reddit and I was like, oh, you guys got to check out. Like, in addition to self-promoting Wizard Scroll, I started also telling people, hey, check out Omega Star 7 too. It's also pretty good. And then Skylar, like, saw one of my comments on his post and was like, oh, thanks, man. And then from there, we just, like, our fates intertwined.
Yeah.
Exactly. I had him and James on for an episode of Wizard Hang way back when. And at the time, it was the longest episode of anything I had ever produced. And he was very proud of that record for a very long time until Wizard Hang 15. Where I went to Colorado and recorded some stuff with some friends of mine, live at their place. And that went on for 3 hours. So it blew Skylar's record up.
Blew it out of the water a little bit, yeah.
And he has yet to reclaim his title.
Yeah. Has he spoken to you since?
I think he doesn't know that I and Zoots McKenzie are, like, the same person. Because he always refers to me as Zoots. He doesn't know that I'm Chris. He's like, hey, Zoots, can you give me Billy Crater's voice?
It'd be even better if he was messaging you, Chris, can you get in touch with Zoots?
He works at a Sweetwater Sounds. He sold me all my stuff. And for some reason, when I call him up, like he's mentioned that in my records at Sweetwater that he has written down, call him Zoots. And so we have a thing. So, like, if anybody aside from Skylar, like, gets in touch with me from Sweetwater, that they're supposed to refer to me as Zoots McKenzie, and if they do, I have to do the voice for them. I don't know how that came up, but that was just something that Skylar put in for me.
Has it happened yet?
It hasn't happened yet. Oh, but Hopefully soon.
Live in hope, yeah.
Live in hope. If I get a call from, hey, this is so-and-so from Sweetwater. Is this Zoots McKenzie? Oh, yes. Hello. Thank you. I'm really loving this microphone you got me. I can scream into it real loud. As you can probably tell, a lot of my comedy style stems from my ability to scream into the mic.
Into a microphone.
Yeah. That whole, like, I literally Matthew McConaughey'd my way into their production with that. Fucking Zoots McKenzie was the, like, I mean, I had a few roles here and there before that, but Zoots was like my big break. It was supposed to be just a one-off character, but then they loved it so much that they brought him back for like a very important scene of like Moxie getting fired from the record company. They needed me to do
replace
it.
Replace for Proxy, yeah.
Yeah, I'm replacing you with a synth. And I actually, like, during that, like, while I was recording that, I came up with some shit that they ended up, like, rewriting the scene a little bit. He's like, get the fuck out of here or you're fired. But you already fired me. I said get out now.
Oh, I love that. And that tracks so much. just being like, I'm part of your show now. I'm Zoots McKenzie.
This is the Zoots McKenzie show featuring Vax Arden and others. And then from there, it was just like, fucking, hey, Chris, you want to be in the writer's room? You want to help us write a script? And I was like, sure. I fucking love that shit. Like, it's such a different beast.
Yeah.
Working, helping someone else write something is so much more chill. It's so much more fun.
Mm.
I mean, I'm not going to say it's more fun, but it's a different vibe.
No, 100%.
When I was helping Skylar write his show, like during the Vestige season 4 of Omega Star, that's where I really like got more involved with the writer's room.
Did they finally decide how to pronounce that word?
I believe it's the Vestige. Yeah, Vestige. That's the canonical.
Yeah, the canonical one.
The Fable and Folly Network supports creators of exceptional audio stories, including the one you're listening to right now. If you love our shows, we want to hear from you. Complete our listener survey at fableandfolly.com/survey. This will help us learn more about you, what you like, what you'd like to hear more of, and how we can maintain an inclusive, safe atmosphere. As a thank you for your participation, we have extras and behind-the-scenes content from your favorite shows. Fans make the network what it is. Thanks for listening, and we can't wait to hear from you. Find our listener survey at fableandfolly.com/survey today.
Here's a fun thought experiment here. If you were to Freaky Friday with anybody from the Omega Star team, who would it be and why?
Oh, who would... Shit. Here's the problem with this. If I had Freaky Friday with Sky, for example, I would have to then perform to the level that Sky can perform. And I
can't... numerous bands.
Yeah.
And also, you have to go to his job and sell people equipment based on your knowledge of equipment.
Oh, shit. Oh, God. I think they're all too talented. Everybody on the Omega Star team is too talented for me to freaky. How long is it? It is just a day. It's just a day, right?
It'll be from Friday to Friday, so you get a week.
I got a week.
You got a week in someone else's body. Who's it going to be?
See, I'm the only Brit, aren't I? Because I was thinking, like, I could just take a week of sick leave, yeah. Right? But you guys don't have labor rights, do you?
No.
No, shit, fuck.
It's 6 days off a year.
God, that's so grim. Oh, God. I could probably put up with being an American for a week, maybe.
You just, like, drive on the wrong side of the road by accident. Like, Friday rolls around, Skylar wakes up in the fucking hospital. He's got a neck brace and shit. And then he's like, Kira, you fucking bankrupted me by getting me in the hospital. He's like, what do you mean, mate? You don't have fucking health insurance for free?
Oh, God, I completely forgot.
Oh, yeah.
Okay, so who would I Freaky Friday with? It would have to be Sky. I'm afraid it would have to be Sky that I would have to do it with, and it would only be to humble myself, I think, as much as possible, so that in every aspect of my creative life I could know exactly how poor I am in comparison. That'd be a great benchmarking experience. Yeah. I think, yeah, I can just about play the guitar. Almost play the guitar. I can almost write an audio drama.
You're doing pretty good for yourself.
I'm doing okay. So it'll be, I think...
you're going to pick Skylar just to humble yourself.
Yeah, just to humble myself. What about you? Who would you have?
I think I would have to go with Chrissy.
You sure you don't want my National Health Service, no?
Like, you mentioned a lot of good points. Like, Skylar has, like... Like, he plays instruments. He has a job where it's like based on his knowledge, where I would probably financially ruin him in a week. I would have to quit his band. I would have to quit the band. I'd have to like double down, try my dangdest to sell shit. I'm not a salesman and I'm not a fucking, like, I don't know any of this shit. So he probably get fired too. So I feel like I would pick Chrissy. One, because like she works in web design, which is something I could probably do. Like I've experience in that field. And two, she's a voice on my show. So while I'm in her body, I could just record all the lines with her setup. Exactly.
We've been looking at this the wrong way, you know.
Yeah.
Who do we trust? It's Freaky Friday. They get our body as well. It should be a question: who do we trust? Who do we trust to be in our body for a week?
That's true. That's true.
I've on that basis, it would be Chrissy. I think Chrissy would do a fantastic job. I think she could easily handle my job and could. So, it'd be Chrissy. I've changed my mind now.
Okay, I've convinced you.
You've convinced me, yeah.
Yeah, because you do have to keep in mind the other person's going to be walking around in your body for a week too.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah,
Chrissy's fucking short. Like it would take some getting used to, because she's like over a foot shorter than I. She's like 4'11", and I'm like 6'1". How tall are you?
5'11" and a half, and that half is very important to me.
That's a hard half. Yeah. If you're wearing when you're wearing shoes, you're 6 foot even.
Exactly.
You're 180 centimeters tall.
Exactly.
So you mentioned you can play guitar kind of.
Yeah.
Would you care to expound on that?
Yeah. I mean, so I've played guitar since I was a kid, but never particularly very well. Self taught. But no real commitment to it. Mm-hmm. Kind of like during high school, which I believe is your middle school. I think that's how that marries up. Was in some bands. University. Was in some bands, but went from being wanting to be like a shred guitarist, like John Petrucci and Joe Satriani, to basically playing reggae music by the time I got to university. So you know, I've been in a few bands, and I can play rhythm guitar. I can sing and play at the same time, but nothing particularly impressive. Again, which is why, you know, quite a slow syncopated beat will do for me by the time I got to university. But I haven't really picked up my guitar, I think, properly, except for my kid Matthew. He's 10 and he plays piano, and we jam together.
Oh, that's cute. That's awesome.
Yeah, so that's just a nice way to keep him interested, because he does not enjoy playing piano at all. So it's a real battle to get him to practice. So we have a jam session that we do. But other than that, I haven't really picked it up since I graduated. And I graduated in, what, 2012? Yeah, 2012.
Oh,
graduated.
My.
So it's been a long time since I've really played. I did, however, one of the stories on No Return, I did the intro to that on my guitar. And it was literally just because I'd been listening to Omega Star 7 and I'd been listening to another show.
Wizard Scroll,
yeah, that's it. And that had a banging guitar intro on it as well.
My iconic guitar intro, yeah.
and I was like, want to give this a crack. And so I made a little mini intro on my guitar. And I was like, cool, that will do. And now forever, I will can say that I'm talented enough to have made it to make my own intro music. I'm never going to do it again.
But that's good that you'd have the experience. That's awesome. Yeah, so I tried learning keyboard. Or, yeah, like the piano. And I feel like I went about it all wrong. I didn't really... Like, I was consistent. Like, I consistently practiced, like, on almost a daily basis for, like, a year. Over a year. And I would use this software called Melodix, which is basically just Guitar Hero, but for piano.
Yeah.
It's the best way I can describe it. And I got pretty good at playing along with the song as the notes came down. But when it came time to, like, jam or, like, play something without notes to appearing before me,
yeah,
I would just freeze up. I have no fucking idea what to do. I have a very, like, very loose knowledge of music theory. Like, I kind of get it on an internal level, but when it comes to, like, actually putting it to words, that's where I'm like, what the fuck do I even say? But I did actually, some of my keyboard playing did make it into Wizard Scroll, but not in the way you would think.
Go on, how did it find its way in?
So when I bought my keyboard, and like, it was New Year's Eve 2021, I bought my keyboard around there, and it came with Ableton. So I was able to install Ableton Lite onto my computer for free. And then when I installed that and I plugged it in, and after fucking hours of troubleshooting and YouTube videos of how to get the piano to play sound in Ableton, I finally figured that out. I was playing around with the various instruments that were installed in there, and I found one that sounded like a sci-fi jet engine or something. And I just pressed the key down, and it was like... And I was playing with the mod wheel and shit, and... I had no idea how to export in Ableton. So what I did was I had Ableton open in one tab and Audacity open in my other screen, recording my computer audio. And I was just like playing, like just pressing the key down over and over, just making it sound like an engine revving and shit. And that is what I ended up using in Wizard Scroll. I think it was the season 2 finale is the debut of my musical prowess. It's just... I've reused that sound a few times as well.
it's worked, really worked for you. I had to come back to it.
Yeah.
That's so cool. Do you still play at all? So, I mean, other than creating that engine sound.
I've the extent of my playing was just like using Melodix and seeing how good I could get at songs.
Hmm.
But then like, I just haven't really touched it in a while.
Yeah. Yeah.
Actually, what happened was my keyboard I used to keep my keyboard like right at my desk, right next to me, to my left, directly beneath the air conditioning vent. Very convenient spot. So when one day the air conditioner decided to drip water down onto the keyboard and fucking broke it, I was so upset. I was like, fuck. And so I called up Skylar. I was like, hey, my keyboard just broke. Can you sell me a new one? And so I got like a smaller model without as many bells and whistles on it, because I didn't know what the fuck any of that shit meant anyway. And so he gave me a small, like he sold me a smaller one for a very good price. And it came in. I used it for a little bit. And then like learning from my mistake, I don't keep it in my office under that vent anymore. I keep it in my room. So now when if I have the itch to play the keyboard, I have to walk all the way to my room, which is on the opposite end of the house. And I got to grab it and I got to bring it all the way back into the office, set it up and then play. And just that inconvenience of having to walk from one side of the house to the other and back has just completely turned me off of the idea of playing like almost entirely. I haven't played in a couple months, actually. I've just been focused on editing season 1 redone. And that's just taken up, like, the bulk of my time.
It's all coming to fruition now, though. It's awesome to see. It's awesome to see it coming out, man.
Thank you. You did your contributions to that were just heavenly. It was, like, you have no idea. Like, I was in the writer's room with my friends. We were like, okay, so in the original version of the episode,
yeah,
there was a very graphic sex scene where it's me, the narrator, describing all the sexual acts that Greg Orka and Jess Orka do. And I knew since now I'm in Fable and Folly, I have a lot more ears on me, a lot more eyes on me. I don't want to like turn people off the show by literally turning them off or yeah. on for that matter. Like I'm not an erotic show.
Yeah.
Like, how do I fade to black in a funny way? And then my friend John, aka Dr. Phil, comes up to me and he's like, "Hey, what if it's just this?" It was at this point in the story where the narrator passed out and we had to hire a mime to interpret the rest of the story. And that's when, and then when he said that, I just laughed so hard because I knew exactly at that moment who I needed to be the fucking the backup narrator and the mime.
They're fucked.
That's probably my favorite gag of the entire season.
Oh my god, who wrote this fucking... Oh, I'm gonna be sick. Oh, God.
It was at this point in the story that the unsavory sights and smells of this setting caused the narrator to pass out. So, we hired a mime to interpret the rest of Greg Ork and Jessorka's activities. They're fucked.
Finally, people can stop harassing me on my feed about your show.
Yeah, no, I did you see my comment?
I did, yeah. Sorry, I was
like, you fucking dick.
So tell me about that. Like, people have been, they've been hounding you for my show.
Yes. So on the Spotify Q&A, since I released you at the feed drop for your show, people messaging being like, so when's the next Wizard Scroll out? And I'm like, you realize that's not me, right? that's Chris.
A.K.A. Cole Lumbo, P.I.
Hey, I've got all the lines in for it now, so I can actually make it.
Oh, shit. Yeah. So now it's go time.
Now it's go time. I've been waiting for two people for ever to get me the lines.
Holy shit.
And they finally got me the lines. I will say that I'm sure it's the same with every single show. The single greatest bottleneck for production on anything is
waiting
for voice actors to get you the lines.
That was one of the things I miss about recording everything myself was I could just knock it all out at once and then just start. Yeah. Now, like, I have to wait for... I have to wait for certain people because I know, like, everybody's got lives. I'm not going to be mad at someone if they can't do it.
Yeah.
It's just, like, it's a completely different ballgame when you have other people involved.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, 100%.
So outside of No Return and all your podcasting ventures... Like, what else do you like to do for fun?
For fun? Oh, God, I can't remember what that's like. I used to have loads of hobbies. Basically, you know, as it is with most people who've got kids, your hobbies become taking your kid around to their hobbies. So that's become a lot of my life now. I desperately tried to get my kid into the sports that I like. So I'm a judoka. I've competed nationally in the UK.
Oh, fuck, nice.
In judo, and that's always been my big passion for sports. And I really wanted to get my son into it, and I'm really into rugby as well. I hate football, or soccer, as you guys call it.
Didn't you start calling it soccer and then changed it up on us?
Oh, you're about historically? I don't know. I couldn't tell you.
I'm pretty sure that's the case.
Yeah, I know that like you guys call autumn fall, and I believe...
We do both.
You do both. So apparently we used to call it fall, and it was more common to call it autumn in the States, and apparently we switched it. So I couldn't possibly tell you. Possibly we called it soccer at one point, although I never met an English person who will admit that. But I will concede that it is within the realms of possibility within history. But I'm just not a fan. I find it really, really boring. My family are split between two teams in Merseyside where we're from, and I stayed out of it as a kid by just pretending I supported the like team two divisions lower so nobody would talk to me about football. And unfortunately, my son is obsessed with football. So he's gone and he's gotten very, very good at it, which is even worse because I can't even dissuade him now. And I've ended up being the coach for the football team as a result, despite having zero interest in football to support my son's passion.
It's like, all right, lads, just grab the ball like a rugby ball. And just...
it's
Let's play a real sport. Let's play a real man sport. Yeah, I also, like, this might just be an American take, but I do believe that soccer, or as you call it, football, is fucking boring as hell. Like, you sit there for 3 hours, and then the score at the end is fucking 1-1.
Oh, you guys don't even have, like, draws, do you, in your sports? That's so wild.
Like, it ends in a draw, and then the entire thing is decided by the 5 minutes of penalty shots at the end.
Only in a tournament. So in a normal game, you can just end the match as a draw, but it's only in a tournament that you would have penalties. Mm.
I wouldn't know enough about soccer to tell you if we had that or not. But all I know is, if they just replace the sport of soccer with just the penalty kicks, it would be way more interesting, because that's where all the pointage comes from.
So the only sport, there's only two sports that I think are more boring than football. And I'll admit that actually the more I've got into football through my son and I've understood the sport more, the more interested I've become in it. But that doesn't stop the fact that it is bottom three. It's just, I now consider it to be slightly more entertaining than cricket, which is the single most boring sport on the planet. And the second most boring sport on the planet, American football. There's about three minutes of play and 12 minutes of waiting around. And then three minutes of play.
Yep.
What the fuck is happening?
When it's like 30 seconds of play, and then it cuts to a commercial for fucking 3 minutes, and then it comes back to the game for like two more plays. It's so like, there's strategy involved.
Oh, well, sure,
It's basically like an RPG for the coaches and players and shit.
It's a turn-based strategy game.
It legitimately is a turn-based strategy game, and I'm sure, like, if you know the ins and outs, it's like, oh, he did the ultimate cum gambit. He moved the ball that way. Whatever the fuck they call the plays. 2-blue, 42, 10 hut, fuck you, hike. Whatever. Like, all that shit is like, if you're in it, that's got to be really interesting.
Yeah.
But, like, to an outside observer who's like, I'm sitting here at the Super Bowl party. I don't know what the fuck's going on. I don't even care about the commercials anymore, because that's all that, like, the people who don't like football watch it for the commercials. And, like, why are you going to watch a bunch of commercials? Like, that's just, like, feeding into the capitalist fucking machine.
You're going to have to explain this one. You have to explain this one to me. What's this about the commercials?
So, basically, the Super Bowl is, like, the most watched event every year in America.
Yeah.
Or whatever. And so, naturally, like, companies will go all out to make the newest, most entertaining commercial that they can. Is the gist.
Oh,
so, like,
right, okay. Yeah,
you
yeah,
gotta
yeah.
pay, like, fucking millions of dollars for a fucking 60-second spot in a Super Bowl.
Yeah. So people make some, really high-quality stuff, so like high production value. That makes sense.
It's a very high production value event, and then, like, 2 days later, they'll play the same commercial, but they'll cut a bunch of shit out of it, because it's a commercial. And they change it from 60 seconds to 30 seconds, or whatever. And so, it's just, like, yeah, Super Bowl commercials, in general, are just, like, why even bother? The last Super Bowl that rolled around, like, I legit, like, I did not, like, fucking care at all. I was in my office editing Wizard Scroll that night, I'm pretty sure.
I'll be honest. So, like, I've watched two Super Bowls in my life, and they were, by accident. and
this isn't the football I wanted to watch.
But when, like, you have a halftime show of that scale, in order to get people to watch it, it probably is some indication of how boring the sport is.
Yeah. No, the sport in general, yeah.
But that being said, you know, my chosen sport is judo, and that is so fucking boring to watch. I love taking part in it, and I will.
Yeah, and that sounds like it's a very fun thing to do. Like,
yeah, but it's so boring.
You and your opponent just beating the shit out of each other. Like, that's entertainment, at least for you.
Oh, yeah.
But, like, to watch, like, for the outside...
It's so crap.
So, like, for the outside observer who doesn't know, like, the intricacies of your movements...
A lot of standing around and people, like, slightly moving their hands across somebody else's clothes to try and get an improved grip. And you're like, nobody will see that except for, like, the people who are judokas themselves.
Not, yeah, exactly.
All of whom are probably training instead of watching the match. So it's, you know, it's likely the same for all sports. Although I will say, mm-hmm. I've never struggled to watch rugby. I find rugby fascinating, and that's one that I think is definitely a good spectator sport.
Come on, England! Score some fucking goals!
What do you think of hockey?
So I've only recently started watching that. My lad actually wants to start doing it. You're on about ice hockey, right? Not field hockey.
Ice hockey. My philosophy on hockey is that they took soccer and they made it better in every conceivable way. Like the big things with soccer is that the field is fucking enormous. Mm. The players don't move that fast relative to how big the field is. There's a ball, there's players and shit, but they're going so slow. There's nobody scoring. And so what you do is you take the field, you physically make the thing smaller.
Make it as hard as possible to stand on.
And it's like the players that fucking, they beat the shit out of each other. Like literally like get into fist fights during the game. And it's a lot more entertaining for the spectator. Like, oh my God, he just fucking he just gave that guy a black eye through the helmet somehow. Holy fucking shit. It's a lot more fun.
Yeah,
I've been to a hockey game. I went to I forget the name of the stadium, even though I was there. Fucking whatever. The
Florida Panthers.
The Panthers, I guess. Someone can correct me on that. I'll edit in post the correct name.
Yeah, I completely agree with it. We only just started watching it at this Christmas just past because where were we? We'd gone to Switzerland for a family holiday, and we were having a very, very bad time. I've tried not to offend all Americans and all Swiss people, but we didn't have a particularly pleasant time. We ended up spending most of our evening sitting in a bar. With my 10-year-old son at a sports bar watching either football or hockey. And we ended up getting really, really into the hockey because we were there every night and they have the hockey on every night.
Yeah, so you got to pick between hockey and soccer. You're going to pick the better one.
Exactly. So unless specifically Liverpool were playing, which what my lad wanted to watch, we were watching the hockey. And we got really, really into it. We got very, very excited by it. And we've got a hockey team near us in Manchester. And we came back and my son's been asking me since we come back, when can he go and start playing hockey? So hopefully I'll be able to slowly move him away from football into something a little bit more entertaining for me.
No, that's good. That's the whole point of having
children, is to entertain yourself. Yeah.
100%. Entertain yourself. Have more people on this earth who like you.
Yeah. Until they reach adulthood and inevitably resent you. Yeah.
Oh, circling back to cricket.
Go on, back to cricket.
What
on.
The fuck is cricket about? How do you play it? What are the rules? Because I understand it's just like the guy is trying to knock the sticks over and the other guy is trying to whack the ball.
Yeah, yeah.
There's two bases.
Someone's trying to knock the stick over. Someone's trying to knock the stumps over. Someone's trying to stop him. And that's about it. Most of the time in cricket is spent drinking tea and eating sandwiches if you're on the field. If you're off the field, most of the time is spent drinking beer and not watching cricket. if you ask most people who enjoy cricket what the best thing about going to watch cricket is, it is
the beer,
getting drunk with your mates, because they're not going to stand there for 5 days watching the match.
Do matches go for several days?
5 days.
5 days for one match of cricket?
Yeah.
What the fuck?
There are variations now. There's shorter variations, but I'm going to start upsetting people by showing my lack of knowledge of cricket. British man doesn't understand cricket. But there's different forms of cricket. One of which you'll have 5 days of matches. You can have single day matches and hundreds and all this kind of stuff. But the most boring version of it is the 5 day cricket, and it is just awful. It's just awful.
It sounds awful.
Yeah, and you know, someone will bowl the ball and they will try to stop it from hitting the stumps, and if they're lucky, they'll hit it. And if they hit it and someone else and if someone doesn't catch it, they'll do a run. Or if they hit it far enough and it rolls and touches a little barrier, they'll get 4 points. But if it goes really far and past that point without rolling, they'll get 6 points. And that's it.
Okay.
That's it for 5 days.
that could be like condensed into like an hour. Five fucking days is wild.
At school, when you learn it as a kid, we do quick cricket, which is good fun to play because it doesn't last for 5 days.
Like, what could, like, what do you think of baseball then? Have you ever seen a baseball match or a baseball game?
Never seen it. Have seen films about it, but still don't fully understand what it is. It does seem very similar to cricket.
It is conceptually similar.
Yeah.
However, like, growing up, like, my brother's a huge baseball guy, big fan of the sport. He played it all throughout elementary, middle school, high school, all the schools. He fucking loves baseball, so I kind of know a little bit about it. So I could, you've given me the lore of cricket. I could give you the lore of baseball now. Cool. So basically, you got, like, two teams of nine, and you got the pitcher, who's on the pitcher's mound, and then, like, eight other guys, one of whom's the catcher, who catches the ball, and then seven others that are, like, on the bases and in the outfield. And your goal of a baseball player is, if you're the one holding the bat, you've got the pitcher pitching the ball to you, you hit the ball, and then the ball, how far the ball goes is, like, after you hit the ball, your goal is you have to run. You have to make it back to home base. So you go to first base, second, third, and then home plate. So if you hit the ball a short amount and you only have a little bit of time to run, you make it to first base. If you have more time, you may be second or third or maybe even in the park home run, but those are rare. If you hit the ball out of the playing field, like into the stands or whatever, that's an automatic home run.
Yeah.
And so, like, there's four bases. So, like, if, let's say, Aaron Judge hits a single, makes it to first base, and then Aaron Smudge comes out, hits another single, you have a guy on second and a guy on first. And then let's say Aaron the third hits another ball and hits a home run, that is 3 points, one for each player that touches home plate.
Oh, right, okay, cool. So we have a game called Rounders, which this sounds very similar to, except I believe the bat is smaller.
Okay. Rounders?
It's called Rounders, yeah.
That sounds like something that, like, someone making a meme about British people would make up.
Yeah, but our bats for that are about the size of a truncheon. So they're not particularly very large, but it sounds like identical rules. It seems like they just made the bat bigger and called it baseball for you guys. Or maybe we copied
World
it.
Champions. That's why we're the World Series champions. We got one team in the MLB that's in Canada, and then the rest are all in the States.
How do you think the US would fare against the Japanese God, I forgot the name of the sport there.
Baseball?
Baseball. Because I believe the Japanese are quite good at it.
Rounders.
Rounders, yeah. That's it, yeah. Oh, Japan's great at rounders. Yeah.
Yeah, no, baseball, though, not so much. You know, I think there actually was, like, recently, semi-recently, there was, like, a tournament of, like, every country.
And a real World Series.
Actually, yeah, a World Series. And it was US and Japan in the finals. I don't remember who won, but I'm pretty sure America won, just because they have, like, the home field advantage. Let me look this up.
Yeah, I'm Googling it. Yeah. Japan celebrates World Baseball Tournament victory. Let's look at this one.
Sounds like they won, then. Okay, yeah, it is the Baseball World Cup, yeah.
Yeah, there we are. Final between Japan and the US.
And Japan won. Gosh bless, look at them. They did it. Okay, so I guess that answers your question, Kier. Japan,
they did well.
Anyway, what were we talking about?
Cricket and then rules for baseball. Boring
cricket,
sports.
Cricket, baseball. I love sports.
Hockey.
Like, I'm not a huge sport guy, as you may have known from my limited knowledge. Like, my brother's played baseball basically his entire life, and that's the extent of my knowledge of baseball, is like one player's name and like basic rules.
I was forced as a kid to love football despite a disinclination to do so. I was very very much somebody who wanted to stay in and read books. Growing up in Merseyside, where there are essentially, it's a requirement for survival to play football. I did get very, very into football, and fortunately was reasonably good at it as a kid. Not so much these days, as my son likes to remind me. But I was at a reasonable level, and it's given me a sort of like baseline to be able to approach other sports with, to be
around the average performer in most sports so I can enjoy participation in it. But given the option from birth, I don't think it would have been my thing, except for judo, because I do love fighting. So I'm not going to pretend that I don't.
All right. Wow, we've been going for a while. We've been just chatting the days away. This is good. We could have done we do the cricket version. We do a 5-day streak.
We'll have to break for tea and every time it rains.
I think we can call it here.
Yes. Yeah,
so Kira, do you have any last minute like goofs or jokes or japes that you want to end the show on?
Oh God, now you put me on the spot. I'm not a very funny man. I have to try very, very hard to make people laugh. And that's usually the awkwardness of that is what makes people laugh. I really don't know what to do now, Chris.
Just end it on that.